Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers for this March 18th, 2024. 3:04 on the clock. Have your host, James J. I am joined by our pitch-hitting expert around here, our utility guy, Seth Habager.
Well, hello, everyone. Yes, I am your, here's an old-school reference, Gates Brown. I'm your Brown right here.
Nice. Nicely done.
I can update it. Lenny Harris, maybe.
Ben Zobrist.
The king, Ben Zobrist. Good pinch hitter.
We got a good one right here. I was thinking of utility players. You were thinking of pitch hitters.
I was thinking pitch hitters, yeah.
All pitch hitters. That's a good one. It's a good question. Best DHs of all time. We'll get into that one. And how much that's going to change in the next, that conversation in the next 5 years with the new positioning and everything.
Yeah.
We have nothing but things to talk about today. It's heavy times in the sports world, in the sports galaxy. So we want to hear from you what you want to talk about. 715-424-2600. Make sure that you download the Civic Media app. We've got some great contests going on and coming up that you're going to want to be a part of. Mm-hmm. And you're going to need the app to do it. So go ahead and download the app, everybody. And thank you so much to everyone who already has. March Madness, of course, is in full effect. We've got games kicking off tomorrow in the tournament. We've got people that don't want to play in tournaments. I want to talk about those things. You know, the River Kings, of course, getting ready to head to New York.
Oof.
The announcement was made of the teams that they will be playing. So we are going to talk about that as well.
Cool.
And speaking of hockey, I want to make sure that we shout out Division I women's hockey. And, of course, the Frozen Four for the ladies' side. Wisconsin is back there. So mention that, too. All these things. I want to kick off our show on a positive because I want to talk about the WBA Hall of Fame announcements that were just made. Four are going to be inducted into the WBA Hall of Fame. Steve Brown, Pat Lowe, Dave Robinson, and Matt LePay.
Yeah.
And Matt happens to be a friend of ours here at WFHR. He's been on our airwaves many times over the years. Not just, of course, giving you some of your favorite moments in sports entertainment when it comes to your Wisconsin teams and the Packers and that. But Matt has joined us on our shows and has been very kind to us over the years, including myself. I've had a couple conversations with him on the air that I was made better for. Because I even told him when I got off, it was when I was really first doing this job and I got off the air and told him, like, thank you very much for the time, Mr. LePay. I got to tell you, I'm really catching myself learning from you, even just when you're talking. And he said it was a learning. He's still learning.
That's the good broadcaster. If you're learning still when he's been 35 years,
yeah,
is that
yeah.
how long he's been doing yeah. this? Holy cow!
Yeah, Matt is the voice of UW Badgers football, men's basketball teams. Mm-hmm. Been doing this 35 years.
Jeez,
that's impressive.
And you think one of these years he'd learn how to pronounce Wisconsin, but you know other. I'm kidding.
We appreciate you, Matt. Thank you. Too. And congratulations to you, sir. Now, let's go ahead and get into what every sports radio show needs to do is kick off with takes. Let's get into the takes. And we are here to take your calls, of course, 715-424-2600. Seth, you came in today. You were ravaging. I've got takes. And you never have takes. So let's go ahead and you got two of them. Let's get to one of them right now, whichever one you want to start with.
Okay. We'll start off with the big news over the weekend, at least for NFL fans, for football fans, of course, the trade of Justin Fields from the Bears to the Steelers. And it really got me thinking. Before this, I had nothing into this. Yeah, you know, I was just an observer. I was like, okay, what are the Bears going to do? Are they going to keep him, or is it going to go for the big ticket, the draft? You know, the number one draft. See if Caleb Williams, in all likelihood, is what it's going to be. What are they going to do? So they trade away Justin Fields, and I saw what they got for him—a sixth round pick. That seemed like nothing. For considering what Justin Fields did last year for the Bears, and you helped them win, you know, handful of games, much better than the year before. They were moving forward and all that kind of stuff. And it really got me thinking, boy, this has got to be where the NFL is going. You have to take the chance now. You have to go to the draft. You have to take the chance on getting a Patrick Mahomes. Now, there are very, very, very few quarterbacks that are going to be Patrick Mahomes. But you got to take the chance. Otherwise, where are you? Where are you in today's NFL? Everything revolves around the quarterback. Every single thing. It's even defenses now. What is the best way to combat Patrick Mahomes? Keep him off the field. You know. So now you got to get your other offense. So I mean, how do you defend him? By not letting him play at all, right?
Every position, even when you're drafting a defensive player, you're thinking about how do I stop a quarterback?
Exactly. So, which is, but I don't think it's sustainable. I don't think you can keep doing this. because all the teams are going to try to do this now. They're going to be, you know, the quarterbacks are at a premium now. And I think it'll go for a few more years, but then something is going to change. I don't know what it's going to be. Are we going to get one of those one in a generation running backs? Maybe. I don't know. But that would that change the whole everybody, though? I don't know where we go from here. I really don't. Because that's everything is focused so heavily on that. Now, can Justin Fields go away to a different team and have success? Yeah, maybe he's a late bloomer. Who knows? Maybe all of a sudden he'll be the next Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh without the icky stuff. we'll see what happens if they use him correctly and all this stuff. But that's kind of where it came to me. Unless you have a Patrick Mahomes, unless you have one of those guys, Lamar Jackson,
yeah.
Do you even have a chance?
Yeah.
Do you have a chance?
Mm. The Bears, the details of the trade, the Bears trade him for a 6, gets 51% of playing time. He will be, it will turn into a 4. Mike Tomlin and the team talked to Justin before he was traded. And it is being reported by Ian Rappaport that, according to Ian Rappaport, the Bears had several offers for Fields this offseason, but sent him to Pittsburgh because that's what Fields preferred. Even if Fields spends the whole year as a backup this year, his chance of rebuilding his image, his career, he sees in Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin the best scenario for him.
Interesting.
The details in this are integral and vital because this is a unique situation for a franchise that has never been in this anywhere near a situation with a good quarterback like this before. So there's not only the decision of do I jump from arguably the best quarterback we've had. Mm-hmm. You know, that we have drafted, that we have built up. Jay Cutler, you can make the argument, but he didn't start in Chicago.
Right.
So do you move on from that and do what the parity is in the NFL now, mm-hmm. where you have the young quarterback on the rookie contract and you build around that while that quarterback is cheap? Because as soon as you have to start paying them, that's when you start losing key players. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs have to trade Tariq Hill, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With that being said, and all those details and everything, it is all that matters, and all of that is a huge part of why the trade happens. But one of the biggest things and the biggest factors that people seem to be forgetting about this is a couple of key things. One, that Ryan Pace, from ownership, was told, do right by this kid. We love this kid. Wherever you send him, make sure he wants to go there.
Wow.
Which limits your options.
Of course.
And means that all of a sudden, you're looking at anywhere you were looking at beforehand is not going to happen. So you want to make a trade quick. You want to make this move happen right away.
Right.
But you're unable to because you have to hear from 31 other teams and hear where Justin wants to go. And is this going to fit? Oh, this isn't going to work in Atlanta, even though that's his hometown?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're going to have to go sign Kirk Cousins because that's why that happened, because Justin didn't want to go to Atlanta.
Right.
The similar story with other teams in grabbing quarterbacks. Jacksonville was one of those situations. Jacksonville really wanted a good backup for him. They were in talks. Didn't happen. They go to Mac Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So this limits the options for a Bears franchise. And where you're going to go with that pick and everything. But you want to do right by the player. Nobody's talking, like there's one or two sentences about this in the story, but nobody's talking about the revolutionary idea of doing right by this player.
Like, yeah,
crazy. In fact, instead of giving the team credit for that, all anybody wants to do is make fun of them for this, for getting nothing for this player,
yeah.
who before the trade was announced, 31 NFL teams told you they did not want.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody who is an adult listening to this, unless you are under the age of 10, understand business and understand that limits your role. All of a sudden, he gets traded. Mm-hmm. From a lot of people, he's apparently an all-pro, and he's going to be a Hall of Famer at all these things. It's hilarious to me how that works, but that's how
that
this
is kind
works.
Of funny. That is how it works, though,
but
unfortunately.
Maybe outside of him going to the team he chose and doing right by him, outside of that storyline and the parity and getting a kid on a young contract and starting over and what that means for a coaching staff, for a front office staff, and that extends your timeline,
mm-hmm.
Which is job security, which is
Absolutely.
Something everybody can relate to, I would think. But one of the biggest storylines that's missing from this is all anybody has wanted to do since Patrick Mahomes has been in the league is make fun of the Bears for not drafting him. And now you have everybody is saying Patrick Mahomes 2.0.
Yep.
So
a lot of that.
Say that Caleb Williams goes into the league and has a moderate good career with a lot of highlights. Okay? And Justin Fields does the same thing. The Bears franchise is, again, now it is twice that they are going to be told this. Twice that they are going to be hearing this. You didn't just turn your back on Patrick Mahomes once. You did it twice. They could not afford to do that.
No.
They could not afford as a franchise. If Caleb Williamson comes into the NFL in his first NFL play, he literally falls on his face, breaks his nose, and is out of the league. They still couldn't afford to not do this.
Oh, I am with you 100%.
As a franchise, image matters. Mm-hmm. You can't guarantee winning, but you can work on how your team is perceived. Mm-hmm. And all that team that franchise has been perceived as is as a joke. Mm-hmm. They have been for over two decades. This opportunity, the shiny object, the hope that Caleb Williams creates is worth it alone.
I think it is.
It's worth it alone.
Yeah.
You have to, let alone the other factors of you have him on a rookie contract, therefore you can go out and buy mm-hmm. Keenan Allen. You can go out and get these other pieces. Yep. And who knows what else you can do right. in the years to come.
Right. And I think any team that's in the same position as the Bears has to do the same thing now. Even if it's a decent quarterback, it doesn't matter. If you have the chance to get, you know, well, in the fact that, you know, you're not doing well probably means you don't have a very good quarterback to begin with.
Yeah.
But if you have the chance to do it, I think you got to roll the dice. And I think that's why I think the Bears did the right thing. Absolutely did the right thing with this.
I think that you were onto something else that I thought was quite interesting too, though, Seth, about where the league is mm-hmm. and has, you know, it's a quarterback league. It always has been to a degree, but now it is so heavy and it's the most important position in sports.
And it's so hard too.
And we have no idea what we're doing drafting these kids or predicting these kids, or to the point of Justin Fields and some of these other players. Mm-hmm. I think you can say how to manage them, how to raise them, how to help them learn to be good NFL quarterbacks and everything. We have no idea how to truly do that. The idea of the quarterback whisperer dies, it starts, and then it dies as soon as it starts.
Absolutely.
Hey, so-and-so is a quarterback whisperer. They get a quarterback who isn't great. They're not a quarterback whisperer anymore.
No.
Like that kind of thing. To what we're talking about, the 2021 NFL draft and the quarterbacks drafted in there. Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson. Out of those four quarterbacks, all of them are going to be backing up next year.
Mm-hmm.
And out of all of them, who would you take if you have to start a franchise? I think that it might seem easy, and then you got to think about it though for a minute mm-hmm. because there's a reason that all these guys are backing up now 3 years later.
Yeah,
3 years.
3 years, guys.
That's it.
That's it.
Nobody even knows who Trey Lance is anymore.
No.
And 49ers moved up for him. Like, we don't know what we're doing with this position, and we need to own that.
Well, and look at – think of all of the Hall of Fame quarterbacks who would not play today. Wouldn't even get given a second look. Would Terry Bradshaw
get drafted
in today's NFL?
Yeah.
I'm not disparaging Terry. He was great as a player. But this is not what the people are looking for. You know, throw the ball 20 times a game. You know,
that's not it.
It's not it anymore. You have to be able to do all these different things now as the quarterback. It's crazy.
We're not. I think that so much of this is so much down to where these kids end up, and because mm-hmm. of the way the NFL drafting works, they tend to go to bad franchises.
Yeah,
it's true. Franchises that have proven they don't know how to raise a quarterback.
Yeah.
So the rich get richer only because they're smart at what they do and they're good at it.
Last year, another great example,
which is okay. By
Bryce
the way.
Young. Exactly.
I felt like my tone made it sound like that's a bad thing to be smart and good at.
Yeah, right.
How dare they?
Look at the difference between Bryce Young and P.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right last year, right there. It's right there, everybody. Man,
it's going to happen this year. It's going to happen this year with this mm-hmm. crop of quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. There are four to six great quarterbacks right now, what we're saying on this day, March 18th, 2024. by tomorrow, that could be different.
It could be changed.
Let alone in 3 years from now when we've seen these kids have some playing time mm-hmm. and make assessments on who they are. It's interesting to see how when you look at the history of a quarterback like a Justin Fields when they go to a new team and how often it works out. When that gets brought up, Ryan Tannehill's name is the main one that gets brought up, and it's the only one people hang on, really. I wonder how much that changes, too, mm-hmm. because, well, hey, you don't want to try. We'll give it a chance. And by all rights, you look at the scenario, if Justin Fields had been drafted by Pittsburgh— And he had played the last 3 years under Mike Tomlin. And some of that with Ben Roethlisberger, and some of that maybe with another journeyman quarterback, whoever you want.
Right.
How much different Justin Fields' career, how much differently he looks is looked at in the league. Same scenario. Pittsburgh has the number one pick, and they're looking to trade him. Well, all of a sudden, he looks a lot different, doesn't he? Because he's in a Pittsburgh uniform and the respect you have for that organization.
Very true.
Some of this stuff is just wild to me of how it's going to play out. And I find myself becoming less and less of a fan of one team and more of a fan of the drama. Which, in my own personal life, I don't want. Right? I don't want at all. I want to have a boring life.
I want to get the popcorn and watch the drama. That's more fun. Much more fun.
Because I found something really weird when I'm in the middle of having a running of a crazy of a Saturday, and my update comes up on the phone. The news I've been waiting for over 3 months. Just in the rush of the day, all of a sudden pops up on my phone that Justin Fields has been traded, and I see what it's for, and I am numb. I have no true, genuine feelings. I'm dissecting all the different storylines are playing through my head. The homerism is almost gone there. It's more of just, wow, this is interesting.
Fascinating story, exactly. Yeah,
and it's and I don't know if it's this job, and not just particularly playmakers, right, but being a content creator and all that in the radio game and all this in entertainment. I don't know how much it's that. I don't know how much it's just as a Chicago fan, I'm just burnt out and numb to almost anything. You know, and the idea of hope, it means nothing anymore.
White Sox had a big trade too, so you know it's like who knows anymore? Right. It's like
Or is it that it's such a wait and see kind of thing? Have we all become, as NFL fans, what we are when we're watching a game? How many people do this? 715-424-2600. Huge play at the end of the game happens. And before you, when we're young, you'd be excited. You'd be cheering and all that. But before you can do any of that nowadays, you're looking for the flag. You're looking for the flag. You're waiting. You're waiting. Now hope.
Now it's good. Yeah.
Now,
right.
It's that or it's it's one or the other now. you're like that as a sports fan. At least I find myself as a sports fan now like that. Justin Fields gets traded. I want to be excited or I want to be angry. But now as a sports fan, I find myself looking for the flag. I'm like, well, I can't really jump on any of this yet because who knows?
Yep.
My opinion is going to change. My opinion is going to be different in a couple of years from now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that was my first big take. I wanted to shift a little bit to baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, I don't do hot takes. Mine are like cool takes.
I like that. Cool takes. Nobody's really covering the cool takes.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Let's do this.
Not
let's
as
do
exciting,
this as
I guess.
A show. It'll work. We'll make it work.
We'll make it our niche anyway.
Yeah.
But it's related because the spring training has started for baseball. And we have gotten our first rash of injuries, which always happens. Mm. But now we're getting players that we really didn't see it happening to. Two guys in particular, Lucas Giolito and I almost called him Cole Hamels.
Nice.
Garrett Cole. Yeah, my gosh. Who's now, he's not, no surgery, but he's going to be out for at least a month, probably more.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. How precarious the life of a pitcher in the major leagues has become. And the thing, the comp that sprang to my mind, as it's not to that extent yet, they're becoming the running backs of Major League Baseball. Mm. And the reason I'm saying that is because we get the news Garrett Cole goes down. It's been a week. It's been almost over a week. The Yankees have not signed a pitcher. I thought immediately either Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery they would sign, who are still free agents. They have not.
It's the Yankees. That's what they do.
Money's not an object. They can sign anybody they want, and they haven't done it yet.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I'm like, I borderline shocked.
Which tells me, I mean, and this is speculation, I don't know, of course, that the asking price, I think that Scott Boras is and the players are asking is too high because of the risk of injury. They are not willing to pay what that is anymore. For starting pitching, even Blake Snell won the Cy Young Award last year. He was the best pitcher in the National League, and he's not signed yet.
Yeah,
there's other pitchers that have gone down. The Red Sox, like I said, Lucas Giolito went down.
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing. And it's been even longer.
Man, and Red Sox fans are losing their mind over free agency this offseason. Yeah.
Well, and part of it, I know, has to do with the weird situation with the regional sports networks and all that stuff. The money isn't as readily available as it was. Yeah. So I get part of that, but that they're not even – this is astonishing to me. And I think we've been trending this way. You're going to see less and less pitchers. Man, there's going to – I think they're getting to the time where like 3-4 year contracts are going to be the most you're going to see for pitchers, especially starting pitchers.
One thing that I think does make sense about this, though, Seth, is that MLB teams are making less money than they've ever made before. Wait, oh no, I'm sorry, I apologize. It's the exact opposite, actually.
They're making more money.
MLB teams have never made more in profit in MLB history, and yet they are telling you that they're just this mom and pop franchise barely keeping the lights on everybody.
You know?
Boy, geez, you got to, if you could think about maybe raising a GoFundMe for the Athletics, that would be great because we're just barely hanging on here.
I mean, I've only got like 4 billion, you know, I can't lose one, then I've only have 3 billion,
the
you know?
Hustle. And this is a hustle. That's my background. I know some about these things. The hustle that Major League Baseball has put on their fan base is alarming, and almost like you just almost have to step back and be like, "Wow, well done," because they have done this our whole lives. Mm-hmm. Players, we go to see baseball games for players. We love our teams, but you're not going to shell out money for a bunch of guys that are batting 200. You're not going to do that.
No.
Don't lie to me. You're not going to do it. Don't lie to yourself. You go there for stars. You go there because you want to see good competitive baseball. You want to see fun and everything. Maybe not every team does that. But boy, every team's at least got a star or something like that or something to look forward to as you go to the ballpark. You want these things. But then when money comes up, when a strike comes up, when these kind of situations that you're talking about come up, oh, these greedy players. How dare they expect to get paid the money that they're getting paid? How dare they? How dare they? Where nobody looks at the ownership. Nobody looks at how the ownership is nickel and dime in every single scenario, not just the players, but you as fans.
Mm-hmm.
You as fans are getting no discount, are getting no breaks whatsoever, even though these teams are clutching their pearls more than ever. And nobody complains about it. Nobody's saying anything about it. Nobody talks about it. Everybody just keeps on pointing. It's so much easier to point at the players because I can identify that. That is a face. Mm-hmm. The franchise has no face. The ownership has no face. So it's harder for me to get angry at that.
Right.
But it's so easy for me to, this guy who's smiling and has got the chains and the money and all that, he's batting 250. Yep. How dare he?
Well, this is the nutty thing about this. Okay. If you had to guess, okay, James, just off the top of your head, which team do you think has probably the biggest net worth of any baseball team? You know, there's probably maybe two that would pop into your brain.
Yeah, yeah.
They're either, you know, they're on the coast, the two different coasts,
yeah,
right?
Dodgers,
you know?
Yankees. Yeah.
Yeah. I would, if I, and I don't know for sure, this is just me saying, if I had to bet on it, I would bet on the Dodgers. Why? The Dodgers own their own stadium.
Yeah.
They paid for that out of their own pocket. They own all the land in Chavez Ravine where it's made, where the park was built. They get every bit of parking revenue.
Yeah.
They get all the concession revenue. And they are the team that spends the most money, and they are probably worth more than any other team in Major League Baseball. So you're telling me that you need to get all this, we need public funding whatever. Get out of here with that.
Yeah,
just look at the Dodgers. Look at how much. When they were $4 billion, you know, however, 7-8 years ago, it's probably worth 10, 11, how many billion dollars now the Dodgers are?
Yeah.
Give me it. Don't give me that, man. It's you could raise the value of your team if you built your own stadium. Give me a break.
If when it comes to, this is a different sport, but when it comes to the Chicago Bears wanting to build a new facility, a new stadium outside Arlington Heights, in Arlington Heights, somewhere around there, I believe, and they've talked about city funding for this and that and stuff. We know the situation out in Oakland where they want to move to Vegas, and they don't even know if they can yet, which is just a funny situation we're not laughing at nearly enough.
Except for the fans in Oakland. I mean, it's a ridiculous situation.
One of them happens to be a really good friend of mine, so I'm not... I'm not meaning to laugh at it, but at this, if you remove the emotion from it, it's a funny situation.
It's ridiculous. Absolutely.
If you want to do that, okay. You want city funding, sure. We also, that means we own part of that franchise.
Oh, 100%, man.
That means you're not doing anything without public feedback.
Exactly.
The fans' feedback.
Yep.
You want to do this. You want to add new toilets. You got to talk to us about it. That's fine. You just got to give it both ways.
Exactly. It's not none of this, you know, like I get all the reward and you guys have to pony up. What? Yeah. No, get out of here with that.
No. And if that doesn't work for you as a businessman, I've got news for you. I've got some great information for you. You don't have to own a team.
You don't.
You can sell that team. That's and right. As we've seen, you can get canceled, sell your team, and make billions. Nice. Make billions more. So apparently that's the
yeah,
model.
You could be like one of the worst people in the world, right, and you could still make a couple billion dollars. Why not?
It's a great example to kids. Great example. Way to go, sports. Yeah, it is not just sports. It's not just sports.
No, it's not.
And sports gives us a billion other great examples of for kids and for us to be good and
Absolutely.
How to be better in society and in life. Again, I do think that it is noteworthy the Chicago Bears tried to do right by a kid.
You got to give them credit, man.
I swear to God, if it was Green Bay, Detroit, Minnesota, or anybody else, I would be speaking
that
on
would be
this
the lead.
Hill. I would
yeah.
be leading on this, mm-hmm. and I would be championing this. And I think I think it'd be a much bigger story.
Absolutely true.
It's just so much easier to you know what, they're idiots again, which they usually are.
Everyone out there has heard this man rag and tear down the Bears.
Yeah.
This is not,
yeah.
You know where he's coming from.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and take a call before we got to go to break. Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
Hey, Bud, I was just sitting here listening to you guys talk about the expense of everything. And it's like, you know, I'm retired. I'd love to take my grandkids to a football game, but I can take them up north for a week fishing cheaper than I can take them to one football game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
They're pricing out the normal fan.
Mm-hmm.
They're pricing out the people that made their sports. I don't care which sport you're talking about, hockey, MLB, baseball, basketball, we're all built off of the middle class
mm-hmm.
or what there is left of the middle class. And they're pricing us out of this situation.
Right.
Right. And then the other thing I just don't understand is, why doesn't baseball have a salary cap like football?
It's a great question. It's a great question.
I mean, you know, for the Milwaukee Brewers, I mean, the Cubs, hell, the Cubs got all the money in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Dodgers, you know, the Yankees. Mm-hmm. I mean, for Brewers, the Twins, I mean, all these small markets, it's like, why don't we make it fair like football? Wouldn't it be a lot more fun to watch?
I personally think it would be. Yeah. And I'd love to see these owners and GMs and everything challenged with that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, hey, I could just buy my way out of my problems.
Right.
I got to be smarter than.
Baseball does have a luxury tax, which is not the same thing, but there are a lot of owners that don't want to go over that. Now that's changed recently. With Steve Cohen, you know, the Mets, and now obviously the Dodgers this last year have just blown right past it. So it's not a hard cap like the caller said.
Well, the Dodgers have like three players that make more than all the whole Milwaukee Brewers team.
There are small countries that don't make the money that three of the Dodger players are making.
Isn't that funny?
It's insane.
That's crazy.
Thank you for listening to me and whatever. You can elaborate on that.
We appreciate you, man. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thanks, bud. Bye.
Hey, have a good one. Keep those calls coming, everybody.
Yeah.
424-2600. Just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app. Get that app wherever you download your apps. We are going to check out our partners, check in with them really quick. We'll be back with more. Big shout out to our friends. Speaking of partners, Quality Plus Printing.
Yeah.
We a gigantic shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing. Taking care of your printing needs right here in Wisconsin Rapids. If you got things that they printing ideas or thoughts, let them know. And be sure to be listening Wednesdays, where we get our word of the week from our friends over at Quality Plus Printing. And they have a great new contest going on where we're looking for hometown heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to reach out to the team at Quality Plus Printing or us here at the station. Mm-hmm. Direct message us, email us, get us your hometown heroes. Let us highlight them. There's a lot of fun things going on with your friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back, everyone, to Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Seth and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope you're having a good afternoon. We're here to take your phone calls, your sports feelings and thoughts and hot takes and anger and happiness and all that. Bring it to
Run
us.
Run the gamut.
424-2600, 715-424-2600. Listening on the Civic Media app, just a touch or two away to get in touch with us. Go ahead and reach out, everybody. We'd love to hear from you.
Well, you're going to want to download it anyway because we got this contest coming up over the next couple of weeks, and you're going to need it.
Yeah.
You're going to need the app for that. So get it now. Why wait?
Yeah. Go ahead and download that app wherever you get your apps. We want to talk a little March Madness, and oh, how key this is. One of our great listeners calling up right in time. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
We're doing good, man. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. I just got to say one thing about the morning show. Melissa's been gone the last 2 Mondays. Why are we talking smoked meat?
Yeah. We miss her. That's why.
Yeah,
we miss her, and so you know, it just we don't have the expert around. We shouldn't be talking about
that's
those.
True.
It's a good
that's
point.
True.
It's a good point. So I want to get into March Madness. I want to make some picks with you, man, and all of our listeners as we open this up to our listeners, our Playmakers March Madness fun. Make your picks, everybody. We'll have this. We'll have some bragging rights out there. We'll get some T-shirts out to people and everything, and we'll give you more information on how to get to your takes and your picks in a moment. But I do want to get your take and get the audience's take on what Rick Pitino has said and what he has voiced with Providence, Seton Hall, St. John's all deciding that they are not going to go to the NIT tournament.
Okay.
And just quoting from Rick Pitino here, first off, I think we should all probably never mention the word NAT again because I think it's a fraudulent. I think the NAT is something that shouldn't even be mentioned anymore as far as rankings go. As far as rankings go, and the idea that and the NIT basically doesn't matter anymore.
Okay.
The point of that, to which I think that every old basketball, and which Rick Pitino is an old basketball coach, an old school.
He's turned into an old grump, too, but other than
All of them would say, why do we play the games? Give these kids an opportunity to play, to get better, to have experience, and to show their draft stock, et cetera, et cetera. Like, and you're giving them less opportunities to play. By not having them in an NIT tournament. And I don't know how often in my life I've agreed with Tom Crean, but my God, I really heard him on this one. And I'd love to get people's feedback on that. But if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine. If you want to just get right to the picks, it's up to you. It's your show.
Well, you know, poor baby.
Yeah, right.
Coach better
yes.
next time.
Yeah.
Coach
yeah.
better next time.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, this gives the kids an opportunity to still show their stock. They had an off season. They didn't do very well. They didn't, you know, they were a bubble team probably. They just gives a kid, I mean, don't make that choice. Let the kids make the choice. You don't make the choice.
Yes.
Just because
you
want to stick your nose up. They've added more teams to the 64. They went to 68. How many more teams do you want to add to this so you can play because you didn't, you know, because you had an off year? I'm sorry. I mean, you know, quit crying and coach basketball or get out.
Yeah, agreed. Well,
I mean,
said.
I'm just not a big fan of Rick Pitino anyways, but if Gard would have said the same thing, I would have told him, quit crying and get, you know, coach the team, you know?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a disrespect to basketball, period.
Yeah.
Like, to the game. To the game, let alone these players, the universities, et cetera, et cetera. I think you hit it on the head, man. Let the kids decide.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to choose to play for you. That we're giving more and more control and responsibility to these young men and women with their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go all in and let's make a real decision here. Hey, do you want to play in the NIT tournament? Do you want to hopefully improve your draft stock? Do you want a chance at a once-in-a-lifetime moment of winning a ring, winning a championship and everything? I don't care if it's the NIT tournament. It's not the biggest March Madness or what have you. To the fan base, to the kid that may not even get to play in the NBA, or the G League even. Like, I want those opportunities. Give me that chance. Don't make that decision for me. You've already made it. You've proven you've made nothing but bad decisions all season long. That's why we're in this situation.
Well, you know, that's the thing. You know, the ESPN does a great job covering the NIT.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just, you're still getting seen. I don't get it. Like I said, it's to the point now with some of these coaches, and I can tell you one thing: if I was on that team as a player, with the way the transfer portal is, I'm gone. See you later.
Yeah,
yes. You don't want to. you don't want to coach me? Well, guess what? I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Man, you know.
I'm done. You know.
Just, yeah, yeah.
I'm seeing a pattern here. And it seems to be of coaches of a certain age. Okay, so now he's still coaching, so I can't really put Pitino on that one. But you got Nick Saban, seriously?
Oh, yeah.
Does he need to go on the all grief tour now with what he's talking? It's like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
Just give.
And you got you're on Capitol Hill complaining about it.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm
who,
done.
I gotta just say, I know we don't go this route usually on this show, but I thought it was a funny situation to see Ted Cruz and Nick Saban sit next to each other, and neither one of them, like, both their fan bases or both sides were kind of like, well, who looks worse here? And who wants to be associated with who?
Neither one really
wanted to. There was a weird situation. Let's just get that out of the way. It was a little weird. It is hilarious to hear him complaining. Of all people to hear him complain.
Bigger fish to fry. Ted Cruz has got to complain about.
I'm sure his constituents believe everything's fine. Other than that, really glad he's putting their focus on that. Let's look at the number one seeds. Let's look at the college March Madness, and let's get some picks in. Before we do, I want to let everybody know that's listening out there that wants to make picks. Go ahead, get them to us. You can email me james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. You can direct message us on our Facebook pages. However you want to get those picks to us, get them to us. We'll keep track of them, and as this progresses, we'll see how everybody's doing. And maybe in the years to come, we can do more of a point system and get really into this.
Oh, that'd be cool.
But with the limited staff we have and time,
there's not much more we can do.
But we do want to. Bragging rights are nothing to look. They're important.
You
around
know,
here.
You didn't because you don't need to bring up the fact
and shirts.
You don't need to bring up the fact that I've won 2 years in a row.
That's right.
And the one here at WFHR. So, you know, I would bring that up.
This is an audio medium, so you guys wouldn't know this, but in our office that Seth and I share, it has a big plaque that tells everybody this. So bragging rights do matter.
They do matter.
They matter. But. No. So do you have any thoughts right away before we start making picks or anything like that, looking at the crowd of 195 that are now in the tournament?
I guess going through it and look at it last night, I mean, there's some things I agree, some things I don't agree with. But that's like every year. I mean, there's, you know, it comes down to a luck of the draw at times. Mm-hmm. Do I believe James Madison is a 12 seed?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they win. What they went 33-3 or something like that. Yeah. I don't have it in front of me, but they went on a 20-game winning streak here at the end of the season. Do they deserve a 12 seed? No, they need to be. I think, you know, personally, I think it was a smack in the face putting them as a 12. Yeah. Who cares what conference they're in? Mm-hmm. They, for goodness sake, they beat Michigan State right off the bat at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I'm not complaining because they're playing against the Badgers. Actually, that's my first upset. I believe Cardinal and White, but
it's hard to pick them. That's
my 5-12 upset. I mean, that's every year you get those, and that's my 5-12 upset. But I agree with the number ones. I agree that UConn deserved the number one overall. Mm-hmm. Even if Purdue would have won the Big Ten tournament, I still think UConn should have been the number one overall seed, not Purdue.
Yeah.
They're the reigning champs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
agreed.
A good one.
You know, I think consensusly they're the best team in college basketball all season long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're the only one of the number ones. I believe they're the only one of the number ones to win their conference tournament, too.
Wow.
Yes. Mm.
That's crazy. That's insane. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah.
But otherwise, we can go through it. Like I said, I don't have it.
Let's have some fun. Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's look at, any upsets that you might have, and then let's look at your final four picks, where you got there.
My final four, I have UConn, Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm trying to go off the top of my head here.
Yeah.
I think I have. I think Kentucky's in the one, and the other one. And who's another? The South number one.
Let's see. In the South, I've got Houston. Houston's number one in the South.
Houston, yeah, and so that's my final four right there. It was UConn, Houston, Kentucky, and Purdue.
I think a lot of people especially from what I was seeing from the announcement yesterday, what I got to watch of it and everything, most people picking UConn. A lot of people have a similar Final Four, but I do like your Final Four, and I think it's a fun one. I've got a similar one myself.
Yeah, and I think I got UConn winning it all because, I mean, boy, they just look so good this year. Yeah, you know, the times I had a chance to, you know, watch, the last couple of years of being able to watch college basketball has been kind of, you know, hit and miss. But the times I had a chance to watch UConn play, you know, it was they got something going there again.
Yeah.
They're over there out east, and it's gonna be tough for anybody to, you know, the beat them. And they're gonna have to bring their A games to beat them because it seems like, you know, most of the time they're above A.
They seem like the only team that they're going to have to beat themselves in order to beat them. Whereas, like, Purdue, I just count on them doing it. I think the only thing that would surprise me this year in this year's March Madness and this year's conference tournament is not only to see Purdue get in the Final Four, but to see them, like, win. Like, is there any other team that would surprise you more than Purdue winning? I'm looking at Vermont, NC State, Oakland, Boise State. None of these teams would surprise me more, surprise me as much as if Purdue actually won this whole thing. Just because they do not seem to really be that kind of team. It's not, I mean, it's easy, low-hanging fruit. They get the number one seed and they lose and that. You know, and they have a number one seed right now, so of course they're probably going to lose. It's not just that. It's the way that basketball has gone, and it's so fascinating. NBA, everything's parity. Everybody's trying to shoot threes. Everybody's doing the same thing. In college basketball, they can't do that, so you have to work with what you got, and you have pretty smart coaches. So, okay, well, we can't be a three-point team, but we can be a team of bigs, and so we're going to focus on that. And you see that. So these contrasts of styles go on, and you don't see as much parity. So you look at these teams, and when a team like Purdue is going to go up at, like, say that they go up against a Tennessee or somebody like that, who I think nobody should be. If you want some money to bet on somebody, Tennessee, that's the team that I'm looking to go all the way. I'm looking at, I don't think anybody's looking at them enough. That's a wicked team right there. I don't know how Purdue can win 2024 basketball with the way that they play and the players they have. That's the thing that would probably surprise me even more.
Well, and that's, I mean, my biggest thing with Purdue is that, you know, outside of Big Ten officiating, I mean, it's hard not to talk about what happened on Saturday, but
yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen with Purdue, because with Zach Edey, I think he gets away with a lot, you know, with the way he plays his position, that you might get the SEC officials. They might not see differently. So I think, you know, that's going to be a factor. I don't know.
Pace of game, I would think, is going to really come into play. If they can get other teams to play their style of basketball, it might be a little bit different. But that doesn't – usually you have a strong point guard that can help you make that happen. They don't really have that, especially when you get into a tournament that's all about guard play. NCAA, from the dawn of this tournament, it's been about guard play.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I tell people when they don't know much about college basketball and they're filling out a bracket. Look at the guards.
As good as anything, really. I mean, I've got my custom made 64 sided die.
Nice.
That I use.
Really helpful. Really, it's really been working.
That's about
out
as
for
good
you.
As it works.
It's working pretty good for you. It's going to be a fun tournament. I'm looking forward to seeing how this goes, and we'll see where our teams land. But get your picks to us, everybody. We're looking forward to those. Any other sports thoughts before we let you go and go to our final break, sir?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to kind of piggyback off what Seth was saying with the pitchers and stuff and the injuries, you know, and you look at what happened with the Brewers with Devin Williams, you know, with the fractures. It wasn't a fracture, it's fractures in his back. Mm-hmm. And he played through this last year toward the end of the season. So obviously this has been a nagging thing.
Yeah.
Is he really truly going to be back this year?
Yeah, yeah.
Is he going to be ever to be able to pitch again? Mm-hmm. Is going to be the biggest question. I mean,
and that hater trade just looks worse and worse when
larger,
these things.
Larger, which really sucks.
It does. Mm-hmm. There's no way to get around that.
But he's out there still too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hater is out there. Why won't the Brewers? You know.
Well, he signed with Houston.
Yeah, he's with Houston.
Yeah, he signed with Houston.
Oh, did he sign? Okay.
Yeah, he signed with Houston.
Well, it happened so under the radar.
It did.
At the time, I thought it was crazy that it happened so under the radar and it wasn't really being talked about. I think because the NFL season was still going on and everything.
He signed earlier,
He signed early, though.
Yeah,
I know
he did, yes.
But him signing with Houston was shocking to me, and I didn't see it really covered or anything. I thought that was interesting. Yeah. You're not alone in that knowing that, I don't think.
Yeah, no.
Right.
And I'd never seen that on an injury. I know, I'm sure I've seen it before, but not in baseball and not with a pitcher. Oh, guy's going on the DL with fractures in his back? Like,
yeah,
it's stress, usually the arm,
yeah,
or something.
It's stress fractures, but still, I mean, that's crazy.
It's crazy, yeah. Crazy. Yeah. Always appreciate the time, sir.
All right, guys. You guys have a great week, and we'll get the brackets to you. And
all right,
we'll
looking
see
forward
who's
to
gonna
it.
Be leading at the end of next week.
Yeah, looking forward to it, man.
Oh,
thanks for the
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
We will take a quick time out when check in with our partners. We'll be back with more fun on Playmakers here at WFHR. Proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Welcome back, everyone, to Playmakers here at WFHR. Playmakers proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Seth and James with you. Got a handful of minutes left to take you to the top of the hour. We're looking forward to talking some sports with you. Call up and join the conversation, 424-2600, 424-2600. River Kings are getting ready to head to New York.
Nice.
We're just wanted to wish them well.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to catching up with Coach and the team real soon. And shout out to the River Kings. Find out more information. Follow your Kings as they build hockey up and down the river. RiverKingsHockey.com. RiverKingsHockey.com. And just before I was able to jump on the air today, was a quick look at my email because I had no time. We had a meeting going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, another
had to
meeting.
Go right in. Heard from Tyler over at the Rafters. Tyler Miller, assistant general manager with your Rafters. Tyler wondering about stopping by. He's probably going to stop by next Monday.
All right.
Looking forward to that.
Oh my gosh, that's coming up so fast.
Yeah, baseball.
Around the corner, man.
Rafter baseball is just creeping and creeping closer and closer. So excited about this season. Looking forward to it. You know, Seth, you and I were talking about something in the break that I think is worth noting, and it kind of piggybacks off of the conversation we've had a couple of times today about pitching in general and what's happening to pitchers nowadays, how you can't really invest in them. If pitchers were stock, I can't imagine what Wall Street would be doing with a Blake Snell or a Garrett Cole. I apologize, the young Japanese pitcher that just signed with Dodgers, Yamamoto.
Yep.
Now, what would you do with a guy like him? And it's just fascinating what we're doing. We've always grabbed players and taken in, if you will, immigrants from other countries for the sport. Obviously, Latin America is huge for that. But now it feels like we're doing it more out of desperation. it feels a little bit more like, well, I could spend my money on so-and-so that's pitched 5 years and he's had this surgery or that and that, or I can go with this shiny new toy that's across the aisle and, you know, and all that,
right,
across overseas or something. I don't know.
Well, it makes more sense. I mean, we've seen it in almost every sport. The NFL still, for whatever reason, American rules football or American style football, whatever they call gridiron football, I guess some people call it. It just doesn't translate. It does not translate to other regions. Almost every other sport, from like baseball, you know, huge. Basketball, huge. Yeah. I mean, look at all over the world, both of them. Even hockey to a certain extent, you know?
Yeah.
But, and I think it's smart. It's the best way. And I think you are going to get better players as things go, keep going along like this. And it's just, maybe it's because just they need people. Because they keep expanding. I mean, how many teams do all these, you know, how we're going to get all the people? We need people. We just need bodies.
It's definitely been working for basketball.
Oh, for absolutely.
Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, fellas.
Hey, how's it going, man?
I got a couple of quick facts and a question for you.
All right.
I don't know if you guys discussed earlier that I saw Shohei Ohtani is opting to play some field this season instead of pitching.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like.
Second time, which is the second time he's already played the field in 2024 and hasn't even gotten on the field.
Hey! Oh! Nicely done. Nicely done. But a bump.
I also read a really interesting note. I know you guys know who Walt Weiss is.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Ooh,
nice. Little Walt Weiss.
Did you know that he played for the Madison Muskies?
I don't think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I learned that today.
That's pretty cool.
I got to go look it up on Baseball Reference now.
I can picture Walt Weiss at shortstop right now. it's in my brain. Yeah.
He was great.
I got a question to leave you with, though, and I think your cohort in crime might get a kick out of it. Why, once again, do all the Green Bay Packers want to play in Minnesota?
Great question.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, man.
It's something to ponder. Christian, ponder. It was a reach. I wholeheartedly.
I have no idea. I don't know why. Maybe, you know, the only thing I can think of that whole, you know, you're talking about Justin Fields to like kind of wrap up the show here, you know, was shopped to all the teams. I thought, why wouldn't the Vikings? Maybe he doesn't really want to go to Minnesota. I was like, the Vikings should have been in on that. Yeah, look at, because Sam Darnold, really? That's our quarterback?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll say this, especially we've seen it our whole lives in the NFC North, but I think it's more of a thing just in football. Saquon Barkley signs with the rival Philadelphia Eagles. We see players who are free agents. If they're traded, it doesn't happen. But if they're free agents, they want to sign with a rival team. We see it all the time. It's insane how often
especially
it happens.
Football, yeah.
I know that I said this to my friends, and I'm pretty sure some people in our civic media chat said this too. The moment Aaron Jones became a free agent, I said he's going to sign with Minnesota, just because I knew he wasn't going to sign in Chicago. That's too close. That's too much of hatred, the heat there is almost too much.
And it's Detroit, just enough distance, right?
Yeah. Detroit didn't need a running back. So
no, they don't.
He's going to go to Minnesota. it's the same thing I would say if a receiver had become available. I would say he was going to sign in Detroit because they could use a receiver more than a running back and all that. But they're going to sign in the division. That is for sure.
See, I don't have it in front of me. Did Jones have really good games against the Vikings last year? Because that's usually where they end up with signing.
Reason, yeah.
Look what happened with Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
The one team he had a good play against, they sign him. It's like, come on, what's going on here?
Jim McMahon got a Super Bowl ring backing up in Green Bay. Like, Steve McMichael did too. Like, it happens. It happens in our division
crazy,
all the time.
Man.
All the time. It's
nutty.
Crazy.
Nutty.
It's a fun show that we get to do it. It's a crazy time, and we get to do it because of all of you and our friends at Quality Plus Printing. Big shout out to all of you and to them, of course. Seth, nice pitch hitting today.
Yeah, it was fun.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next Monday for more show, 3 to 4, right here, Playmakers on WFHR, locally grown radio.